The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Garen Noon is with me for the Thursday interview this week. What job title would I give you? How do I introduce you? For people are like, Garen Noon, what?
I like using influencer just because it annoys people so much. Everybody hates that word. So I go around telling people I'm an influencer now.
All right, so get your texts in, folks. Start deriding Garen for his influencing ways. But what's the... Of all the different kind of hats you wear, what's the thing you're most interested in? Is it musician? Is that what you kind of see yourself as?
I suppose it's... I'm interested in everything I do. Like, it's... I suppose the thing I'm most known for is shouting at cups of tea and stuff on the internet.
That's true, yeah.
And I think that's a noble endeavour. I don't want to put it down. I'm kind of interested in everything. I kind of like that because I used to play the pubs and stuff like that a lot. So I was gigging a lot, so... Now I do less gigs. I do more shouting at cups of tea and I'm kind of happy. I'm very lucky.
How did the shouting at cups of tea come about?
I started reviewing cereal about 3 years ago. I got a cereal. I've told the story a couple of times, but I got a cereal, a new Cocoa Pop that came out. I wanted to review it. And then people started sending me cereal to review and I just kept making videos and that's the crack.
What was there a kind of a breakthrough moment now that you look back on? Something that went viral?
I never had like a huge viral video. It was just slow growth over time. The first video I ever had that like got lots of views, like maybe over a million views, was me talking about my Irish Chinese takeaway, which absolutely fascinates Americans. And I got a lot of criticism in the comments because it wasn't very cultural, but they enjoyed it. So that was probably the first big video I had.
Was there a moment, though, that you look back on and maybe then it wasn't that breakthrough moment, but that made you kind of stop in your tracks? I mentioned earlier, you know, when you were coming on that, you know, Stevie Nicks kind of gave you a shout out on stage, yeah. For example. Something like that you saw, I don't know, maybe it was somebody who shared a video, somebody who gave out about your cultural appropriation, but they just happen to be a famous person.
I don't know that it really happens like that. I think like the thing that builds your followers or whatever is really just being consistent. I never really seen a big bump for anything like that. I suppose the biggest thing that happened was when I started saying I'm delicious, then more people started following me. So
how often do people shout at you I'm delicious on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, probably 50, I'd say.
No way. I get it a lot.
And it's, you know, when I say that, I think people are probably saying, oh, I'm so popular. I'd say most of those people hate me. They just want to shout at me.
Are there days where you're having a bad day and you just shout back at them?
So
would you ever F off?
No, I always pretend to be nice. People have been very nice. I've never had a bad experience.
Yeah.
So I'm very lucky in that respect.
But are you conscious now of how recognisable you are? You know, the thing of you cannot pick your nose in public anymore.
We're kind of at the point now where if I go outside, I'll be recognised almost immediately. A part of that is just because of my formidable size. I think you can spot me from about a kilometre away. And I've done absolutely nothing to make myself stick out less. I couldn't stick out more, to be honest. But it's, you know, everybody's very nice. It was a lot to adjust to. But I've never had anything negative, so I suppose I can't complain.
And then how do you cope with that level of notoriety? Because I know you've spoken before, say, about when you were in school, when you were a teenager, and the agoraphobia, mm-hmm. and not leaving the house.
Yeah.
And this seems just so far down the other end of the spectrum that when you leave the house, everybody knows who you are.
Listen, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't times where it was difficult. So there have been times where, you know, maybe I wasn't feeling the best of myself, and that sort of added thing of knowing that people are going to come up to me, you know, has maybe stay in for a couple of days or something like that. But, you know, I think that comes up for everybody, and it's like anything, it just becomes sort of just a part of your life. And people are nice. I mean, if people were being really nasty, it would be more of a problem. But most of the time it's, oh, Garen, the videos are good, or they'll just say hello or whatever. So
is that something that we lose sight of the more time we spend in the digital realm? Do we kind of forget the fact that actually fundamentally most people are just decent?
Everybody is. Like, there's the number of people who are have want to do bad is very, very small. Most people are, there's this kind of perception that the general public are stupid and they're all this and they're all that. Almost everybody is smart, well-intentioned and just wants the best for everybody. And that's been my experience. And nothing has taught me more that than the amount of exposure I have to people now.
Did that faith in people, did it wobble back in March when you had your kind of brief period of cancellation?
No, I mean, there was a small group of people who maybe sort of deliberately mistook what I said and tried to make it look a lot worse than it was. There were a number of people that had a disagreement. Most people understood what I was saying, and whether they agreed or disagreed, were fine about it.
Yeah, so this was Conor McGregor had been in the White House, and obviously we talked about it on this show. Everyone talked about it. The whole world was talking about it.
It was shocking to me how many people talked about it.
Yeah, exactly. And you commented. It's funny, I would wager an awful lot of the people who expressed outrage didn't actually, you know, listen to what you said or read it, because, you know, you were quite clear to criticise Conor McGregor in it. You went out of your way to make the point that this wasn't an anti-immigrant thing, but it was just about a sense of, well, how would you describe it? The sense that exists in some communities in Ireland that you were trying to express.
Yeah, the primary point of the video was about, if we're not hearing people out with the difficulties that we're having, we're creating an environment where somebody who's badly intentioned can come in, tell people everything they want to hear and dominate that conversation and make things sound worse than they are. Whereas if we're more willing to take the middle ground with people, with their concerns and stuff like that, I think we stop people from going down that path. That was the actual message of the video. There were some things that I said in the video that I think they could have been better worded, and I said that afterwards. And, I didn't expect it to get as much of attention as it did. And I'm fine with people criticizing me saying things poorly or that I should have been less clumsy in my delivery. I think that's completely reasonable. There was another group of people who, you know, Twitter people. Who took loads of things out of context, twisted it. And then I think a lot of people started making videos having never even watched my video. They had just watched somebody else's dissection of what they believed I had said. And that's where a lot of the drama took off from.
And what was the moment you realised that trouble was brewing?
I didn't really go into too much about the negative effects of it because I didn't want to make it all about me. But there was, you know, people were starting to contact, you know, things to do with my work, telling them that I was basically every bad thing a person can be. I believe this, I believe that, things that are the opposite of what I believe. And I was getting just hundreds of messages of people quoting things I'd never said, linking me with people I don't want to be associated with. And I said, okay, I need to take a couple of days off from this for my own self, because I couldn't stop looking at it. I was like, listen, I can't reply to this when I'm in an emotional state where I've got all this coming at me. I'm going to take a couple of days, think about it, and then come back to it. What I didn't expect was how how much worse that was going to make everything, or how much bigger that was going to make everything. So, obviously everybody started talking about it, and that was that for a couple of days until I came back.
Yeah, it's funny because you won't be surprised to hear, like, we were having conversations just here amongst each other, because it was the big talking point for a lot of people, and I don't know if you didn't want it to be, but it was. And I remember saying to somebody here that I said, I think Garen was in bother when some of those Twitter people, say, who do hold those kind of awful views that you don't hold, were kind of claiming you as one of them. They were like, you know what I mean? When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's problematic for him, because other people will see that as well. They were like, yes, Garen's one of us. I knew it.
Yeah, I think what actually happened there is, I say, some people try to sort of perpetuate that these were the people who were supporting me. It was, you know, these extremely far right people. Mm. Most people who were reasonable understood what I was saying and didn't take anything extreme from it, because it wasn't meant. And then a couple of opportunists who jump on everything that happens to try and come up with examples of, look how crazy people who disagree with us are. They jumped on it and they made a big thing up. They probably didn't even watch the video. They don't know who I am. They don't even know what I said. But, you know, these things happen. And listen, I wasn't thrilled to have Tristan Tate talking about me. But people jump on things. They use it for their own benefit. And I have to accept, if I'm going to put out things out there, that might happen to me. So
does it make you more reluctant to do it in the future?
No, not really. I mean, I think if I have something of use to say, and I think the message that I was trying to give in that video is I stand by what I said. I think it's an important thing to say that, you know, people are coming in and taking advantage of what people feel isn't being heard. And if we don't accept that and have a look at it, I think those things will get worse.
They were kind of proving your point by hounding you out of it, some of them, you know?
A lot of people say I was cancelled or whatever. I don't want to say that people took it that far, but, you know...
Well, you kind of cancelled yourself, did you, for a couple of days? And then the narrative became
I don't think it was a cancel. I think what I did was perfectly healthy. It's just it's just a strange thing for somebody with a big account to do. Yeah. But I think a normal person would have done the same thing. Like with just their personal account with their dogs on it or whatever. But because I put videos up that occasionally people watch, it was an unusual thing. But I think it was something I should have done.
Yeah.
But the
narrative became in your absence, oh my God, they've chased him off everything and he's been cancelled.
I mean, the reason I left was because of the level of out of hand it was getting and the way that people were talking about it was so extreme. And I wasn't in a mindset where I was going to be looking at that, and I didn't really know how to move forward. So, but I do think it was a mistake on those people's parts to make out like what I was saying was this extreme thing. I think it makes them look reactionary. And I don't genuinely think most people who disagreed with me had this tremendously reactionary thing. They were like, I don't know about that. Oh, maybe you should have phrased that differently. That's fine. But the people who went off the deep end, I think, didn't do any help to their own cause.
And tell me then about the headspace you found yourself in, you know, when you'd made that decision. I cannot be dealing with this. I need a couple of days of space.
Yeah.
Like, how difficult was all of that?
Listen, I don't wanna whinge about it, but like it was stressful. Like everybody was talking about it, and it's, you know, the grand majority of people thought that I'm a reasonable person, no, I don't have any hate in me for anyone or anything like that. But when you're seeing it everywhere, when everybody's talking about it, you go, you don't know how that's going to go. I felt like I was going to walk outside and people were going to start shouting at me about me being all these awful things people were saying I was going to be.
Yeah.
So I didn't leave the house for a week after that. I didn't sleep much while I was gone. And look, I've learned from that. I know what might come if I say something in the future, and that's life, and I've accepted that as part of what I'm doing. So,
but then when you did leave the house at the end of that week, what probably happened was somebody just shouted, "Oh, Garen, I'm delicious!"
Yeah,
and life kind of went on.
I mean, for the supposedly shocking things that I'm supposed to have said, I haven't heard from anybody about it. Nobody has come to me and said you said. Nobody has said it. All I've heard is, "Oh, Garen, how are you getting on?" It hasn't been spoken about to me since.
So what have you learned from the whole experience?
I think that if I say something, there is a danger that it will be something lots of people see. And in that, I need to be extremely careful about how I choose my words. I don't think what I said in the first video was bad, but I think I phrased it in a way that was too open for people to jump on it.
Mm.
And I think now I know, you know, I have to be incredibly specific about exactly what I mean.
And do you ever resent that? Do you ever think, I wanted to just make videos of me shouting at cups of tea and make music?
I think I can still do that. I think on most things I can still say basically whatever I want. But if I'm going to talk about something that I know is contentious, then I have to be very specific.
That's kind of culture war space.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want people using my words in a way that I wouldn't want them used. And if that's ultimately on me. I have to be extremely careful to make sure that people can't use my words and for an objective I don't agree with.
And you know, you said people were kind of reaching out then in terms of business interests or gigs you had coming up and saying to people who were working with you, you know, how do you know a fusee holes and misrepresenting you? Was there any actual blowback on that front? Or did you find that actually the people who you do work with knew you and were just like, get lost?
I lost a lot of sponsors. I lost pretty much everything I had at that point, rather than maybe a couple that stayed with me. But eventually, you know, people realised that I wasn't saying the things that people were making out I was saying.
Are you back now where you were then, or is there still, would you still say there's a financial loss to this day?
Things have returned to normal now, pretty much. People are coming back to me as normal. I'm working with people as normal. People don't know, you know, people are looking at what other people's interpretation of what I might have said was, and they're playing it safe, and that's completely on them, and they should do that. But I think people have realized since, he didn't say anything that extreme. A lot of people took it out of context. maybe I said a couple of things that could have been phrased better, and that's not really...
There's some really, really nice text coming in. Can I just say, Garen is the most beaming ray of sunshine and his videos bring a smile to my face every single day. Never mind the keyboard warriors, Garen, and stay delicious. Somebody else says, my dad passed away last September and I laugh because my sister and nephew in Manchester put me onto Garen, so I'm a recent convert. Why are you not better known for that voice? Boy, can you sing and make mirth a plenty. Keep up the great work. See you in Castlebar. But you want my favourite one so far from Cathy. Himself loves Garen, but nothing personal. He drives me mad.
Well, thank you.
Best of luck, Garen, but if he could see to blocking my husband, I'd really appreciate it. And that's from Cathy.
I respect that. Oh, yeah. I respect Cathy, the honesty.
We'll pass on the details and Garen may be able to help you out there. Bit of peace and quiet. Have you got anything coming up?
Yeah, I've got gigs coming up in Killarney, Kilkenny, Dublin, Belfast. They're sold out, but there are tickets available for Killarney, Kilkenny, Mayo.
All right. Still, so, yeah. Listen, it's been a real pleasure, Garen. Thanks a million for coming into us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
appreciate
really appreciate it. I was going to take you to task on that Dubai chocolate.
Hey, listen, it's nice. It's an abomination. I liked it. Everybody's telling me it's overrated. Maybe I just haven't experienced enough food. But
an abomination is what it is, not overrated. Garen, listen, it's been a real pleasure. I mean it. So thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.